Carolina. And how many of you remember what a jack in the pulpit looks like? A jack in the pulpit. Oh, you folks, you got to get out in the woods more. Okay, God makes some really neat things, and that song is about some of those things. And so, you know, every time we sing a hymn, a lot of these hymns all have something behind them, and it's very important that we understand, you know, what the Lord is trying to do. Today, it's going to be a very serious subject, one that the Lord has had on my heart for a few times. Oh, children, yes. Let's let the children go to their classes. We've got teachers chomping at the bit to teach. Now, be good to your teacher, children. I forgot all about that. This is not a subject for children anyway. One of the things about the church, unless the church has relevance, unless it is about what's going on in your life or what's going on around you, we're wasting our time here, folks. The Christian faith is not a pie-in-the-sky thing. The Christian faith deals with reality, what is really going on, what is really happening. And I know that probably every 100% of you would take the same position I would on the subject we're going to be looking at this morning. And that's not why I'm bringing this and sharing it with you. I'm sharing this with you so you can begin to realize what is really happening and what is going on. It's important because this week a law was at least passed in the House called the Equality Act, which is the most wicked law that has ever been passed by a U.S. Congress. The most wicked. It will destroy the Bible. It'll be against the law. If this is passed, it will be against the law to even read the Bible in public. It will destroy the church because the church will no longer be able to preach the Word of God. It will force everyone to accept homosexuality, same-sex marriage, or they will be put in jail as a result of not accepting that. You will no longer be able to worship God according to the dictates of your conscience in public. And the House has passed the bill this week. It goes to the Senate now. If the Senate were to pass, I don't believe they will. I would be so disappointed, so amazed if the Senate passes the bill. The president wouldn't sign it. I know that. He just couldn't. But this is something that's going on. There are some things going on, people, around us that we need to be aware of. And so this morning, I'm going to refer to scriptures. I want you to understand that the Bible has a lot to say about this subject. And you can see in your bulletin what the title is, What is Life in the Sight of God? And I'm going to start with an Old Testament Mosaic law that was given to the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, under Moses, by God, because this is God's position on this thing. In fact, Tim used part of a verse, and he didn't realize it this morning, and you will see it. Those of you who are in Sunday school this morning will recognize it as we get to the this next to last verse of this. But we're going to look at, first of all, Exodus 21. Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 25. And I have been it's been requested that I give you more time to find that. Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible. Exodus 21, verses 22 through 25. Is that long enough? Okay, let's read this. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And if he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. We're talking about abortion. We're talking about the fruit of the womb. God looks upon that very specially. It is very important to him. And before we're done this morning, I hope you will see, because there's a lot of scriptures that deal with this. And people don't realize that there's so much in scripture about abortion and how God hates it. But there are some things about it that you may not have given any thought to. And so this morning, as we look at this, I hope you will begin to realize exactly what we're talking about. This passage comes from God giving the law to Moses. It was for the nation of Israel to follow in serving as his chosen people. It has to do with a woman who is with a child in her womb, or in her uterus. If anything happens to that child as a result of outside influences, a fight, an argument, an assault, then God says that he will take vengeance on the person, or Israel should take vengeance on the person who does this, that causes a woman to lose that child. That child is very special to God, because that is a child. It is not just a mass of tissue. And you, but when we're done, by the time we're done, you'll understand. I want to clarify something right now, so that you can understand the volume and the magnitude of the lies that they have been told since Roe versus Wade was passed by the U.S. Supreme Court. That decision was made in 1973. And abortion is the killing of a soul. Not just a life, people, but it is the killing of a soul. You have a soul. God gave it to you. And he gave it to you at conception. When you were conceived, God gave you a soul. Not just life, but a soul. Abortion is the killing of a God-given soul. And I have sought statistics on abortion, and most of the people who are involved with it now are trying to cover up what's going on, because they don't want you to understand how big this thing is and how it is affecting you as well as me, as well as our entire nation. I'm going to share some numbers with you. They may not mean anything, but their numbers. By the end of 2015, which is the last year I can find figures for, there had been 45,789,558 abortions. 2015, 4 years ago, 45 million. That's 14.2% of our population. More than 1 in 10. Now, we criticize the Germans for murdering 6 million Jews during the time of the Second World War. And we condemn them for doing that justly. What does God think about this nation who by now has killed over 10 times what the Germans killed? And everyone that was killed was a living soul. Everyone. And every mother who consented, now there have been mothers who have not, this abortion business is wicked, and I'm not going to get into some of these things, but every mother who has permitted her baby to be aborted has become a murderer in God's sight. That's over 60 million murderers. Think about that. Now, there's a lot of Bible verses that have connection to the unborn child and his relationship to God. And I'd like you to see what God has to say about this thing. So let's pray and ask God to help us with our study this morning, and then we'll get on into this. Father, this is a very difficult subject for us to look at this morning. It's very uncomfortable. You know that. But yet, Father, you have told us that we are to preach your entire word. And the things we're going to look at this morning in your word are things that you have said about that child, that unborn child, that child who's been conceived, who has a soul, who has a life. And so, Father, help us to understand what is really happening, then Father, help us to take the action you would have us to take. Help us not to be complacent. But Father, stir our souls, stir our hearts, and we will praise you, Father, for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 127:3. Psalm 127:3, you were in the book of Exodus, now turn towards the center of your Bible. Psalms and Proverbs, we're studying Proverbs in Sunday school. Psalms is just ahead of Proverbs. So if you know where Proverbs is, you can find Psalms. It's the book ahead of Proverbs. Psalm 127:3. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Children are an heritage of the Lord. They are a gift from God. All children. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. And this verse carries a very clear message from God. and this message is for all men and for all women. When God created man, he made it possible that a man and a woman coming together in a marital relationship could produce a child. And that was his intent. That's how the race was to grow. That's how we were to get more and more people. People to help each other. People to be part of his nations. And even a child that is produced with by an illicit relationship is still a child. It is still of God. He is the one who controls this. He does. It is not an accident. Never is. There are those who would have children who he withholds that from them for some reason that he knows. We don't know. But a child, when conceived, is a human being with a soul. It's not just a gob of protein, but it's a living soul. In the past, there were certain expectations for couples who found themselves, they got into relationships outside of marriage, and couples who found that they were expecting a child or that they had produced a child. And we used to think, well, they're going to get married. That doesn't happen anymore, people. That doesn't happen anymore. Couples live together. They produce children together. And God gives those children. God ordains those children. And you could call it a consequence of sin, but God has a hand in those children being conceived. Men didn't go around at that time, a few years ago, fathering children and just running off and leaving them. That's what's going on today. Upon some very large segments of our population. Sin of one kind leads to a sin of another kind. And so what has happened today, people, is that when a couple, unmarried, wind up producing a child, the alternative for them in their mind is abortion. And because of that, we have had over 60 million, not 600,000, not 60,000, but 60 million children murdered in this country. How many scientists, how many doctors, how many school teachers, how many plumbers? Who knows? How many truck drivers? We don't know what these 60 million people could have accomplished had they been permitted to come to birth and grow up and be educated and go on and contribute to mankind. We don't know. We will never know. Because they were murdered in their mother's wombs. The sin that causes so many of the abortions is the sin of failure to be temperate. Now, this passage that we have just looked at in Psalm 127:3 tells us that God, this is a reward of God to a couple, any couple, whether they're married or not. The child is a reward for them. God has a purpose in forming the baby in the womb. And this is not the only place that God says this. Folks, I've got a lot of scripture here this morning I'm going to share with you. And the next scripture I want to share with you is Isaiah 44:2. Isaiah 44:2. You were in the book of Psalms, now we're going to Isaiah. A couple of books further toward the back of your Bible. It's one of the large prophet books of prophecy. Isaiah 44:2. Look what that says. It says, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee." Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. You see, God has a part in the formation of that baby. God, it says here that God formed that baby in the womb. He formed that baby in the image of himself, the image of God. Now, he can withhold fruit in the womb, and he can bless conception. God superintends what happens in our lives. Every one of us are here this morning because God has given us the opportunity to be here. He's given us that choice. And we have taken that choice, and we have made that choice, and we're here. But God superintends our being here. Now, you're in Isaiah 44:2. Let's go a few verses deeper into that same chapter, Isaiah 44:24. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord my Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that shepherdeth abroad and eateth by my and shepherdeth abroad the earth by myself. So according to this verse, God superintends even the forming of a baby in the womb. He has a purpose for every child. Each one of you sitting here this morning, God has a purpose for you. And when you were formed, when you were conceived, he had that same purpose for you at that time. I keep telling you, God's got a purpose for you. And we don't always know what it is, but we can know for sure that God does have a purpose for us, or we wouldn't be here. When his purpose is over, life is done. And as long as he's giving you life, he's got a purpose for you. Now, he has a purpose for every child. And man, under the direction of the devil, does all he can to frustrate the purpose of God. And that's one of the things that abortion is. It's an attempt to frustrate the purpose of God. God knows everything. You're in Isaiah 44. Turn a couple pages toward the back. Isaiah 49. I'm trying to take these things in sequence if I can, so that you don't have to jump around and think you're going through a sword drill. Isaiah 49:1. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother, he made mention of my name. Let me read that again. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Now, there's a song I've heard sung in this church. He knows my name. And he does. Before conception, he knows your name. Because he has a purpose for you. I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Those 60 million plus babies that have been murdered, God had a purpose for every one of them. Even a baby with Down syndrome, and a lot of people think, oh, that's such a tragedy that this baby's going to have Down syndrome. Let's get rid of it. And that's not the way to approach it. Every child that I have ever met with Down syndrome has been a great blessing. They know how to love in ways that regular people don't know. Regular children don't know. They can be such a blessing. But that's one of the reasons people choose for aborting a baby. for murdering a baby. So God knows our names even before we are conceived. Doesn't that tell us from conception on that we are a soul, a life, a living being? God's purpose is being frustrated by those who snuff out the soul and the life of that baby in the womb. And a thought that has very little impact on the pro-abortion people is the thought that God had a plan for that life that they have destroyed. Like I said, we don't know how many doctors or how many teachers or scientists or just even a bus driver. Maybe a garbage man. Every one of those lives, God had an intended purpose for that life. And that life was murdered before it could ever be born. Oh, this is a wicked thing, people, and I don't know why we have sat so still as a church and as a group of people and not really protested. What's going on? But we have. All right, you're in Isaiah 49 right now. Let's go down four verses. You were at Isaiah 49:1. Let's go down to verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. How many preachers were put to death before they could be born? How many priests? How many rabbis? Out of 60 million, how many? What kind of an impact does that have on us today? To have 60 million people missing around us. And that's exactly where we're at. Now, someone might argue Isaiah 49:5 is just one verse, and they'd be right, it is just one verse. But let me share one other verse with you that clearly teaches the same truth that Isaiah 49:5 says. And this we need to go back one more verse, or one more chapter, or one more book towards the back of the Bible. We're going to Jeremiah this time. Okay, that's right behind Isaiah. Jeremiah. We're going to chapter 1. You're close to the end. Isaiah has 66 chapters, and so we're going to Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5. And this is a good verse, people. This is a verse that tells us what it's really, abortion really is and what it's really all about. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This is God talking to Jeremiah. And listen, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set him aside. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. What if Jeremiah's mother had an abortion and he had never been born? The purpose that God had, Jeremiah is one of the books of the Bible. He was one of God's prophets. And God used him in a mighty way. Jeremiah was persecuted terribly. He didn't mind it. He was serving God. Because God had called him before he was formed in the womb. And every baby that is aborted, God has a purpose for that child in this world. And so every time that a life is snuffed out in an abortion clinic, God's purpose is frustrated. See what we're seeing this morning? The act of conception is under the control of God. Every conception is part of the will of God. And there are no accidents in God's economy. It's not an accident. He has a purpose for every conception that takes place. And to destroy that soul is to thwart God's will. Now, there's one person whose goal is to disrupt the will of God, and that is the devil. And so he has a part in this thing called abortion. Abortion is satanic. Abortion is satanic. It's part of Satan's activities. Even when couples not married, parent children, or conceive a child between them, this is not an accident of God. He has a purpose for that life. So let's carry that thought through to its conclusion. If life begins at conception, at the time that the egg is fertilized in the womb, that life is human. And if that life is human, then that life is given a soul by God. That life is given a soul by God. When we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised. There's already 60 million souls up there waiting for us. How are the mothers who murdered those, or permitted those 60 million souls to be murdered, how are they going to face that? God made men and women different so they could enjoy each other, but the difference was also that a new life could be conceived, and the union could be blessed, because God said that was a reward. The child is a reward. And that just happens to be the way that a wise God made us. So now I'm going to go back to Genesis, first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:27, very first chapter in the Bible. Genesis 1:27. You know the verse. You've heard it over and over and over. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And in the time that we have left this morning, I would like to share two examples of God's involvement with conception. The first example would be John the Baptist. And to learn about that, we will turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, third book in the New Testament. Am I going slow enough, Amy? Luke chapter 1, beginning at verses 11 through 14 of Luke chapter 1. And there appeared unto him, Zechariah was ministering in the temple, He was to go into the Holy of Holies to make a sacrifice for the people. And a man, a priest who was going into the Holy of Holies had to be absolutely pure, no sin in his life, no blemishes on him of any kind. And so if he had a blemish or if there was sin in his life, when he went into that Holy of Holies, he died. God took his life because he was not worthy to come before God. We have the privilege of being able to go to God anytime we want because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Zechariah was ministering. And that's where we're at in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. He thought he was going to die. Thought, oh, there's something I've missed. Verse 13, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. You see, Zacharias and his wife had become old. They hadn't been able to have any children. And now Elizabeth was going to conceive and bear a child. And that child would be called John the Baptist. He would be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was the one who set this up. And God told Zechariah, he sent an angel to tell Zechariah this is going to happen. He wanted him to understand. So the event was foretold by an angel. Now let's look at the fulfilling of the event in Luke 1, 23 through 25. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his menstruation were accomplished, he departed unto his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. In those days, people thought if they couldn't have children, there was something wrong. And people, that's not it. God has children for some people. God does not have children for others. And he has a purpose in this. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It simply means God has a purpose. There's nothing lacking. God has a purpose. So we've seen the conception of John the Baptist foretold by an angel, and we've seen the conception take place to begin life for the forerunner of Jesus. And while John was still in the womb, there is one more event that we want to take notice of. And again, that's in the first chapter of Luke. Let's look down at verse 39. Verse 39. Verses 39 through 42. Mary had been told by an angel that, and we'll look at that too. Mary had been told by an angel that she was going to have a child. Mary wasn't married. But God said, you're going to have a child by the Holy Ghost. And so after she had been told this, she decided she, and the angel also told her that Elizabeth was with child. Her cousin Elizabeth was with child. So Mary wanted to go and congratulate Elizabeth, sort of like, I don't think she held a shower for her, but like some of you ladies might do. But anyway, she wanted to go visit Elizabeth. And so she went. And that's what we're going to read about right now in Luke 1, 39 through 42. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. That is one example indicating that even in the womb, a baby has a soul and knows what's going on. Now, part of this verse, if you have a Catholic background, you know is part of the Hail Mary prayer. That's where it comes from. I see a few heads nodding. I'm a former Catholic myself, and so I prayed that prayer many times. Had no idea where it came from. And part of it is where it said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. That's part of the Hail Mary prayer. Now, the last example that we want to look at, because we're running out of time this morning, but proving that a baby in the womb has a soul and a purpose from God is our Lord's conception. It was different from all others, but it does prove that a baby has a soul. It's still in first chapter of Luke, Luke 1, 26 through 31. Luke 1, 26 through 31. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord. Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Now, this was before she ever conceived. God already knew the name of the child. Of course, this was going to be God's son. But the angel came and told Mary. God knew the name even before conception. He's known all of our names before we were ever conceived. Now, we can derive from these examples that God knows the name of every baby that has ever been conceived. That he has had a purpose for each child. And I think as a church family that we should locate groups in our area that might be helping out mothers who are in trouble. Mothers who don't think that they can afford to have a baby or think that that's the only alternative they have. Now, we do support one organization as a church. One of our mission organizations is located in Columbia. They provide help for pregnant mothers. But surely there's got to be something in this area. It's got to be. We need to find out where they are, who they are, and do what we can to help these mothers to prevent any further abortions. Abortion is a terrible thing. It's a murder of an unborn child. And if that wasn't bad enough, now they're wanting to kill children after they are born. They've been doing this without anybody knowing. Dr. Gosnell up in Detroit, he's in jail for life. But this has been going on as a part of the abortion mills. Even in North Carolina, there's a doctor up there in an abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood, that if he botches an abortion and that child is born, you know what he does with it? He lays it face down in a pan of saline solution and drowns it. And when they found out that's what he was doing, They have just passed a law, and it has just been signed, that this cannot be done anymore. There's a lot of states that have coming to realize how ugly and how horrible abortion actually is, and they're stopping it. Now, whether or not Roe versus Wade will ever get overturned, I don't know. I don't know that. My speculation is that the Supreme Court will not hear an abortion case to overturn Roe versus Wade, because it will be so, well, it will create so much turmoil within this country. Think of this. How much of our population see no problem with murder? And now, if they're, you know, like this Virginia law, governor of Virginia, who happens to be a pediatrician, says it's okay if the baby's born, we'll just make it comfortable until the doctor meets with the mother and decides what they want to do with it. And if she doesn't want to keep it, we'll kill it. What's to stop them from deciding, well, they can do that in the first 10 years. There's nothing to keep from that. And then say, well, maybe the old people, we don't need the old people around, they're not contributing anything anymore, so they're just costing us money, and the Social Security won't help them. You know, we can't keep up with it, so let's get rid of them too. People, that is the end of where we are headed, unless God intervenes or God's people intervene. And I want us, I'm over time, I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. I want you to pray about this. I am looking for some group we can help. We have, last year, we took on in July, our July business meeting, we took on 8 new missionaries. And we have been able to support them fairly well for all these months. We're coming up on the first year anniversary. God is blessing us for that. But don't you think God will bless us even more if we can give some help to our local folks so abortion doesn't have to be an option, so that it isn't an option? So if you know of an organization locally here that are helping unwed mothers, let me know. We want to investigate. We want a good organization. We want an organization that believes like we do. And there are some out there. But we want to get involved in that too as a church. Think of how God could bless us and what a blessing we could be. Some mother who right now thinks her only option is kill the baby. 60 million have already been killed. Where do we stand in the sight of God as a nation? How can we expect God to bless us if we continue to kill babies or knowingly permit them to be put to death? It's a horrible thing, people. We're living among it. It's part of our society. What are our people doing with the rewards that God is intending to give them? Let's pray. Father, we know how horrible this is. Father, help us to have a part in preventing this. I don't know right now how you're going to do that, but I would ask you to touch our people's hearts that we might know your will we might know your purpose, and Father, that we might be willing to do whatever it is you want from this ministry to help even one mother avoid the murder of her baby. Thank you, Father, that you have given us many scriptures referring to this in your word. Help us now to use and do the things you want us to do. Help us to be doers of thy word, not hearers only. And we will praise you for what you do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to close with a hymn.